Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's always a great joy to be with you and to share with you the unsearchable riches of Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and more than anything, our soon coming King. But regretfully, before Christ returns, we're going to witness some very, very arduous and difficult times. We're going to witness some very evil events. We're going to witness continued deterioration of mankind. It's sad. It's sorrowful. It's, in a sense, pitiful. But it is a reality. Man has abandoned God. Man has forgotten God. Man cannot forget God and expect everything to remain the same. But before we go into the scriptures today, I want to encourage you with a song. The song is entitled, Sometimes It Takes a Mountain. You may be listening today and you're going through a very, very, very difficult time, a dark place in your life. You're discouraged. You're beleaguered, you're bewildered. You can't seemingly find the answers that you're looking for. You're living right, you're doing right, but the devil is hammering you, telling you God has forgotten you, God has abandoned you, God has forsaken you. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or the end of this age. He said, I'm always with you. The devil will tell you the exact opposite. Hebrews 13:6, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Our God remains faithful through it all. And yes, sometimes it does take a mountain, a test, a trial, an affliction, an anomaly, an aberration to get your attention. Psalms 119:67 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Psalms 119:71, before I was afflicted, I went astray. So, David, understanding life, the perils and the troubles and the trials and the tribulation, understood. Before I was afflicted, he said, I went astray. So, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Sometimes it takes a trial. It takes a mountain to get you refocused on Christ, your Savior. Listen to the words of this song, and I pray it will speak volumes to your heart and to your life today.
Thank you.
Yes, my friend, sometimes it takes a mountain, it takes a storm, it takes a tempest. That's exactly what it's going to take for America to turn back to God. Nothing less than a tempestuous, arduous, unrelenting storm on this nation is the only thing that's going to turn this nation back to God, which I deem the Great Tribulation period. And I know there'll be my pundits out there, well, you're crazy if you think the church is going through the Great Tribulation. Let me remind you of the words of Jesus in John 15:20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If Jesus was wounded, bruised, marred, mutilated, spat upon, despised, rejected, castigated of men? Are you better than Jesus? Are you greater than the Lord? The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. You're not greater than Jesus. You're not greater than any of the apostles. None of us are. So you better wake up to reality and understand, because that's why we're preaching this series. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. People do not want the truth. Oh, they say they want it. America says, we're tired of the lying politicians. Yet the church ordains sodomites, transgender, lesbian pastors. It's a disgrace in the eyes of God. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. As I said yesterday, you don't have to be redeemed to know there is a God. Look at the sun, the moon, the stars. Look at life when a baby is born. That tells you there is a supreme deity. But when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You see, there are two scriptures, or actually two phrases. It's one scripture found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul said, beginning at verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Here's the word I want: unthankful, unholy. Unthankful, unholy. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Someone said to me some weeks ago, you don't have to send me a thank you note, a thank you card for my offering, my gift. I do that more than just for you. I do that for my sakes. Because I don't want to ever be unthankful. And I certainly do not want to be unholy and profane. But we live in a generation when people are so unthankful for everything. That's why everyone. And we have people who send $2. I mean, the stamp, the envelope, and my time, we go in the hole. We go in the hole. My time is worth something. But nevertheless, because I refuse to fulfill that Bible verse, unthankful, I will always be thankful. Why? Because I know God. I am redeemed. Once men acknowledge God and they become born again, they are to always be thankful, and they're to be aware there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. That's hard to do sometimes. That's why I love to read Joseph, his life. They were going to murder him. But during the debate as to what to do, they put him in a pit. And God put him in the pit, and the pit was a place to save him from murder. until the caravan of Midianites got to where Joseph was, and they said, let's just take him out and sell him into slavery, and that will be the end of Joseph. And they feigned his death by taking his coat of many colors and shedding a goat or a lamb and putting the blood on the coat and taking it home to Jacob, their father, and say, see here, a wild beast killed Joseph. This is all that's left. You see, sometimes God will put you in a place or a position that is very, very uncomfortable, but he's saving you from something far worse. He might even be saving you from yourself. He might even be saving you from yourself. Once you become regenerated, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you should be thankful. A lady wrote me the other day, can you tell me where I can find a church, spirit-filled church in such and such town? No offering, no gift, no return envelope, no stamp, no nothing. I throw the letter in the trash can. You say, that's very rude. What bothered me was she says she wants a spirit-filled church. But she didn't so much as put a 48-cent returned stamped envelope for me to respond to her. In other words, I want you to do it all for me. Find the church. Write me, phone me, call me, let me. But I'm not going to do anything. You just, baby, spoon, feed me. And I thought, and you're looking for a spirit-filled church, and that's how you treat people? Unthankful. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You say, Pastor, that was very unnecessary. Well, you give me your name and your address, and I'll send them all to you, COD, and you answer all of them. And see how you feel when people dump that stuff on you and don't so much put a self-stamped return envelope in the mail for you to respond to. I would have responded. But instead of helping bear the burden, Galatians 6:2, so fulfill the law of Christ and bear ye one another's burdens. She wanted me to bear the whole thing. You find the church, you tell me where it is, and you get back with me. But as far as me doing anything for you, no, I'm not doing a thing for you. That's unthankful. That lady is fulfilling Bible scriptures. I hung up on a lady today. I hope she's listening. I have more women attack me. The ratio is 100 to 1. 100 to 1. The women that attack me versus the men that attack me. Now you tell me what's wrong with that picture. Yes, that's prophecy. Isaiah 3:12, children would oppress and women would rule. We are living in the time of the end, when everything is being turned literally upside down. Evil now is good and good is evil. Bitter is sweet, sweet is bitter. Dark is light and light is dark. And you want me to accept that. You want me to believe that. You want me to embrace that. You want me to agree with that. It's not going to happen. Not on my watch. Yes, Adam and Eve were co-equal in the garden before the fall. There was no big I's and no little U's. He said to Eve after she fell, Genesis 3:16, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Oh, that just tore somebody up. I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. God did. And forgive me, God, you didn't make it up either. It's the truth. It's the truth. Our world is changing so swiftly, so quickly. It begs description. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Unthankful, but became vain, worthless, fruitless, void in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Men's hearts today have become profoundly foolish. The Bible said foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's as though everyone are like a bunch of little children in kindergarten. The only difference is children will forgive and go back and start playing together again, but adults will not forgive and won't go back and play together again. The unwillingness of a man to repent by the Holy Ghost. What makes him unwilling to repent? Because his imaginations, his thoughts, his heart, his thought process has become vain and worthless. His thoughts toward God are vain. You know, the big guy upstairs, that vain talk. Contempt. Psalms 10, verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. People never incorporate God in their thought process today. Every day I consider God in everything that I'm doing, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it, what I'm going to buy. I'm always thinking, is this God's will? Is this what God wants? I want to incorporate God in my reasoning. Do you incorporate God in your reasoning, in your thinking, in your thought process, or is it just me, myself, and I? Two verses here, Isaiah 1, 18 and 19. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. Now when God says to man, come, let us reason together, you're not going to change God's mind. No, that's not going to happen. God believes if he can get you in his presence, his spirit, his nature will change you, and you will be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, and that not of yourself. See, there's a lot of narcissism, self-idolatry today. People have made themselves a god. Just like the television program, I think it's finally burned out, American Idol. Now think about that, American Idol. They made these people idols, and people worshiped them. You see, that is so subtle. But that's what the Bible said they would do. Why? Because they do not acknowledge God. and their thoughts, their imaginations are vain, and their hearts have become hearts of sheer foolishness. Once the heart becomes darkened, once the heart becomes a heart of foolishness, Paul said in the next verse, they would then profess themselves to be wise, but they became fools. They say, I'm smart. I'm wise. I'm endowed with great wisdom and knowledge. But God declares they are fools. Why are they fools? Because their foolish hearts are darkened. The light of Jesus Christ no longer shines in their heart. They are ultimately fooled by their own foolishness. Let me say that again. They are ultimately fooled by their own foolishness because they have a perverted heart. Was talking to David Hughes today out of Texas, who were talking about people's hearts, foolishness. Oftentimes, you are your greatest enemy. And the problem with a deceived person is they believe they are absolutely right when in reality they're absolutely wrong. But they have foolish hearts. They have vain imaginations. They say, I am right. No matter what you demonstrate, no matter how much evidence you bring out to authenticate, to validate that they are wrong, no. They will still tell you, I'm right. Look, we got a socialist running for the president of the United States, wants everybody to have everything for nothing. Who in the world's going to pay for it? You see, that man is totally deceived because being in the Senate as long as he has up there in the congressional legislative branch of government, they just keep printing money, so just keep printing money. Well, I can't do that with my pocketbook. Paul said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And there's the word again, moros. And we have the English word, morons. Bernie Sanders is a moron. Somebody has to pay the bill. But no. Free health care, free education, free. As one cliche says, freedom is not free. Redemption is not free. It was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Their hearts are darkened because their hearts have become so foolish. Jeremiah 3:21 says, a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backslidden children. But my Baptist brothers and sisters will say, doesn't matter if we're backslid. We're going anyway. Why does he say, return, ye backslidden children? Because you're away from God. He said, a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. You see, when you become foolish, you become perverted. You do moronic things. And they have forgotten the Lord their God. You cannot forget God, people. Psalms 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Jeremiah 2:32, can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. When you forget God, you backslide. Once you're backslidden, if you stay like that, you're damned. If you repent and return, as he said, return, ye backslidden children. That's what I did. I repented. I returned back to God, but I wasn't a stupid idiot fool, even though I was full of sin and rancor. I knew if I had died in my sin, I would have went to hell. There's no doubt in my mind. You see, I wasn't deceived. Oh, yes, I was a crude, rank, selfish, degraded, debased sinner, but at least I knew what was right and wrong. I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew I was running from God. See, that's the danger with tepidness, indifference, lukewarmness. Revelation 3:15-16, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. God said, either get hot or get cold. Took me forever to understand why get cold. Well, in the natural, if you get cold, you'll do something to get warm. Your body will start shivering to generate body heat. It's a mechanism God puts in a person's body. When they get cold, they start shivering. Why? So they can get warm. We have forgotten God. As I said yesterday, we're doing everything we can to push God out of our consciousness. And thus, Paul said, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They don't like God because God convicts them of their sins. God tells them what they're doing is wrong. The Holy Ghost says, you can't do that and be right with God. You can't go there. You can't say that. As John the Baptist told Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife, Philip. It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. What did he get John the Baptist? It got him beheaded for telling the truth. He wasn't lying when he said, I must decrease, he must increase. John decreased to death. Jesus increased to death. That you and I could be saved. Isaiah 47 verse 10, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. You see, a lack of God consciousness suffers a man or a woman to become perverted. To become perverted. Look at the perverts in this nation. Bruce Jenner is supposed to pose nude on some magazine. Oh, I forgot. She's Caitlyn Jenner now. That's got to be some kind of raunchy, randy, rancid filth to look at. If you don't think that man has a demon in him, you better wake up. professing themselves to be wise, the man or the woman or whatever he is now, Shem, they think they're wise. God said, you're a fool. You're a moron. Bruce Jenner, you're a moron. You can change your name, let your hair grow out, take replacement hormone therapy, get a sex change, whatever in God's name that is, but you're still a man, Bruce. You just have a demon in you. You need deliverance. I hear some of you say, oh, you're being so judgmental. I'm telling you what the Bible says. They're becoming fools, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. How foolish is that, my friend? How foolish is that? Bruce Jenner has 4 children. Where did their daddy go? Oh, I forgot. Kids today have 2 daddies or they have 2 mommies. I'm not going for it. I'm not falling for your lies. That's not the way God did it. That's not the way God made it. Tom Horn and Steve Quayle keep talking about transhumanism, transgender, transvestites. I mean, they're transitioning, but they're transitioning from good to evil. Don't you get it? Don't you get the transition? It's not transitioning into something good and better. It's transitioning into some kind of perversion. And then they tell me, well, Pastor Lankford, he preaches hellfire and brimstone. You better start praying. God raises up hellfire and brimstone preachers by the thousands. Because there's not many of us left that'll tell you the truth. It's harder and harder every day to find the truth. Why? Because of perversion. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Now, I'm just going to briefly touch on the subject of the abomination of desolation. That is a prophecy. When the false prophet in Revelation chapter 13 demands that the people make an image. If you do not have my book, Revelation 13 Revealed, you need to get it. You know I don't promote my stuff. I'm not pushing books. But for you to get the thorough understanding of what the abomination of desolation is, you would be doing yourself a favor. Because the Bible said in Revelation 13:14, the false prophet deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Make an image to the beast or an image to the man. What does Paul say here? And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. The false prophet is going to demand that the people make an image in the likeness of the Antichrist, Jesus addressed that in Matthew 24:15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. They're going to take this image, this idol, and they're going to put it in the Holy of Holies, and that's the abomination of desolation, because they've tried to take the image of a man and change it into the glory of an uncorruptible God. Nothing that man could ever make could symbolize God in any way, shape, form, or fashion. God is too great. God is too mighty. God is too holy. God is too hallowed to be made in the image of anything or anyone or any likeness. Remember, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Yet in the end, man's going to change the truth of God into a lie, become a fool, and say, let's make an image of God in our likeness. You talk about crazy. Why? Because their foolish heart was darkened. Listen, I'm just an old country Bible preacher. That's all I am, nothing more, nothing less. I just preach the Word of God. But perversion is exploding exponentially in this nation. Every type of perversion that can be imagined, it's growing exponentially. We have no idea of the gravity and the magnitude of the experimentation that's taken place in the government. If Hitler was attempting these things in the 30s and 40s, what in the world are they doing now in the 21st century? I read back in 1978, I was reading a book, and we're talking 38 years ago, Motorola was developing a computer chip that they would plant at the base of a man's brain, the cortex, a biocomputer chip. It would grow into the man's brain, get its energy from the brain, its source of life. And they said they believed they could perfect this computer chip, that you could give this man 40 digits and say, now, multiply, add, divide, subtract, or whatever, and he could do it just like a calculator. Well, that seemed far-fetched back then. Well, it's not so far-fetched today. As I've shared with you in my book, Revelation 13, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. The word count there in the Greek is compute. .5585 in your strong, exhaustive concordance. Look it up yourself. Right at the very back of your Greek concordance. 5586. I mean 5585. I'll get it right here in a minute. 5585 means to compute. Then it'll tell you to reference 5586. And that means a ticket for admission And then 5586 will tell you to go back and reference 5584, which means to manipulate or to verify by contact. See, we got people who don't even believe in the mark of the beast, yet they say they're Christians. Well, that's not a real mark. You guys are crazy. No, you're the crazy people that don't believe the Word of God. Then you see, when you take those definitions to compute ticket of admission to manipulate, i.e., simply that is to verify by contact. Every store you go to now, they take that barcode and they verify it by some kind of contact. Usually it's a light beam. They shoot a light at it in your buggy or on the counter. Passive transponder. All this is in my book. And then when you take those three numbers in the Greek, 5585, 5586, and go back to 5584, you have a thorough understanding now of the scriptures in Revelation 13, beginning at verse 16. And he calls it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. That's the manipulation part. And he calls it, see, that's the manipulation, and he calls it all, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That's your ticket for admission. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. The word count there is compute. But it's the number of a man. His number is 600, 66. So when you put it all together now, if you don't believe in a literal mark of the beast and Antichrist, your foolish heart has become darkened. And don't send me your emails, and don't write me. I'll just throw it in the trash. I'll click your email off. That buffoon who called me today said, Jesus, that's not his name. God help the stupidity and the foolishness of these darkened hearts. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Joshua, Yeshua. I mean, I know all of that stuff. You think I'm that stupid? Can I tell you, when I was backslidden, and I came back to God, and somebody said, let me tell you about Yeshua HaMashiach. I'd have said, do what? What are you talking about? Now, if they said Jesus, I knew that. This is literally how foolish and darkened and hardened and calloused people's hearts are becoming. And I'll get a boatload of criticism because of this, but that's all right. That doesn't bother me. Paul said, we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, and they try to tell me that's not his name. Quit saying Jesus. Well, how many demons have you cast out? I've had my share of encounter with demon-possessed people, and every time I've ever cast out a demon, I said, in the name of Jesus, come out of that person. Every time I've ever cast out a demon, I use the name of Jesus. How many demons have you encountered? I've seen them puke, vomit, roll, pull their hair, act crazy, Why? Because they're demon-possessed. I've never seen such a time, as Paul said, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You don't want God's knowledge. White House poised to create first monument to gay rights. President Obama is poised to declare the first ever national monument recognizing the struggle for gay rights, singling out a sliver of green space and part of surrounding Greenwich Village neighborhood at the birthplace of America's modern gay liberation movement. He's going to change the glory of God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Oh, it's going to get so crazy. You better walk in the Holy Ghost just so you can keep your sanity, just so you can keep your right mind. Let me emphasize before my time's out. Romans 1:23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. What was Obama's motif? What was Obama's theme? What was Obama's mantra? Hope and change. Hope and change. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. See how subtle that is? Now that's verse 25, but I'm not there yet. But what are they doing? They're changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man. I watch what's going on, and I say to myself, God, how far will you let it go? I do know this. I know what God showed me in one of my fasts some years ago. He showed me that if he did not return, Satan would take the earth as we know it back to Genesis 1 and 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's what God showed me. He said, if I do not return, Satan will reduplicate. He will redo what he did in his rebellion in heaven when I cast him out and obliterated the heavens and the earth. Revelation 11:18 says that God shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Satan would defile man to the degree man would destroy the earth, or Satan would take us back to a time when we're without form and void and darkness is upon the entirety of the world. That's the realm and the sphere that Satan lives in. John 3:19, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Their foolish heart was darkened, Paul said. Satan wants to take us back to darkness, not light. Light reveals. Light is Jesus. What was the first thing he said in creation? Let there be light. John 8:12. I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. God showed me, while I was fasting 2 or 3 years ago, he said, Satan would take the earth as you know it back to that same dimension as in Genesis 1. Without form and void and darkness. Folks, we're already headed there. Form, structure, men going into women's bathrooms and vice versa? Void? Void of knowledge? Void of judgment? That means to have a reprobate mind? And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and their foolish heart was darkened? Unbelievable. I feel led to ask a question today before I close. I just felt a check in my spirit. If I were not here Monday, would it make any difference to anyone listening? If I decided to fold up, close up, shut down the shop, and say, God, I'm just tired of being faithful, would it make any difference at all? I want you to think about that. Now, that's not a threat. That's not a veiled threat. That's not some kind of manipulation statement. That's just asking a question. If I were not here Monday, would it really make any difference? I'll answer the question because I asked it. I think it would make a difference if I was not here. Yes, I do. You say, you patting yourself on the back? Absolutely not. You giving yourself self-accolades? Absolutely not. But I believe and I know for certainty there would be a void of the Word of God. That I know. That I know with certitude. There would be a vacuity, a void, an emptiness of God's Word. Now, why did I ask that question? I want you to pray for me. I want to be faithful and preach uncompromisingly to my last breath. I told my wife the other day, when I die, if the Lord should tarry, I want to die while I'm preaching. I want to die while I'm preaching the Word of God. I'd love to be standing in a Holy Ghost service and pulpit preaching to people and fall over dead and be standing next in the presence of God preaching to angels. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And let's all fight the good fight of faith. Finish our course with joy.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.